Hey, everybody, listen, I am so excited about what I believe God has for us. He's prepared for us today. First, a quick shout out to those of you who are gathering in our San Jose campus. Thank you. This is the day to be with us in San Jose. And for the rest of you who are watching online across the Bay and beyond, thank you. I believe God has something very, very special for you wherever you're watching this message from. God, have your way today. Fill the details of our lives with your miraculous healing power. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're sitting next to someone, just simply turn to them and just say to them, let's access God's power together. Yes, today we're talking about accessing God's power. Type that in the chat, accessing God's power. Not only are we going to talk about it, but my friends, today we're going to do it. Together, we're going to reach to access God's power. I told you last weekend that on this week, I'm going to preach a much shorter message to create space for us to identify the improbable and the impossible that's in our lives where we need God's healing power to be released, and we're going to bring it to God and ask him to do the improbable. And my friends, I believe that God has orchestrated this day. Like it said in Exodus, that I believe that God has heard the cries of his people. Many of you have been crying out to the Lord for a solution for a long time. I believe this is the moment that at least the miracle begins. Last weekend, we talked about the story of the woman with the hemorrhage of blood. She had been bleeding for 12 years. No doctor could help her. She had run out of solution. And then at a moment that she could have never calculated, Jesus shows up in the neighborhood in close proximity. She hears about it. Here's what the text says. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe. And you know, in that day, the person's clothes were seen as an extension of that person. If I can just touch Jesus, really, she's saying, I will be healed. God orchestrated that moment right when she thought that impossibility in her life had won. Jesus showed up in close proximity. You know, my dear friend, John Ortberg said a number of weeks ago that the only unnegotiable rule of prayer is that you got to show up. She found a way to show up, to press through the crowd. And I'm believing if you're watching me on YouTube, if you're watching me from San Jose, this is the day that you have showed up. Bring in your improbable, impossible challenge to the one who has the power to heal. Thank you for showing up. Wow. In a real sense today, I'm less of a preacher and more of a guide. Virtually, I'm trying to take your hands and I'm trying to help lead you, perhaps pull you through the crowd that is gathered around Jesus. So many people calling for so many different things, but if I can just pull you through the crowd through this message today, oh my God, if I can just get you past all of those voices that are always shouting at you, voices that say you are unworthy, you are unwanted, that you are unqualified to be touched by Jesus. I want to get you past all of those voices today so that you can reach out. Can you say reach? Reach out and touch. And be touched by the one who has loved you before you were in your mother's womb. You were in his will. He knows you. He loves you. And notice what the text says. Immediately, can you say immediately? Immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed. I'm praying that today is your immediate moment. Even for some, the immediate is that immediately the healing begins. It may not fully manifest itself for months. It may be months down the road. But I'm praying that this is your immediate moment, that as you reach out in prayer, that the healing will begin For somebody, the healing that you're praying for is in your body. You're wrestling with a disease. For somebody else, it's in your mental health. You need a breakthrough from depression and anxiety. For somebody else, the healing that you're desperately asking for and praying for and in desperate need is healing in your relationship with somebody that you love, that you're struggling with, and it looks like the relationship is almost over. For somebody else, it's in your finances. You're about to drown, but I'm praying that today is an immediate time for you. It's an immediate moment where the healing, the miracle, at least begins today. Now let's wrestle with something for a moment. You know, the fact is that when we come to God today asking for the improbable and the impossible, it's possible that God will say no. Well, when God says no, how do we make sense of it? And if God, if there's a real possibility that God says no, why should we come? Why should we risk? Why should we dare make ourselves vulnerable in this moment? There's a fascinating story in Mark chapter 14, verse 32. You know, as it relates to the woman with the hemorrhage of blood, Jesus is the source of healing. But in this story, just a few hours before he's to be arrested and a few more hours before he's to end up being crucified on a Roman cross, the most inhumane, the most horrific suffering humankind has ever created is death, crucifixion on a cross. He's about to endure it. Notice what the text says. They, meaning Jesus and his disciples, came to an area called Gethsemane. And Jesus told his disciples, "You stay right here and pray." And then he took his inner circle, those disciples that was the closest to him, Peter, James, and John. And they went on a little further. And he walked a little further. Suddenly he was stricken, if you will, by the terror and the agony that was about to befall him through crucifixion. And here's what the text says. He sank into a pit of suffocating darkness. And then he told them, "I feel bad enough right now to die." Somebody listening to me, you understand that experience. You understand what it's like to wake up in the midst of what feels like suffocating darkness and pain and agony and fear. You understand what it's like to feel bad enough to say to God, "God, go ahead and end it." You get that. Jesus gets you. And then the text says he goes a little further, going ahead of the disciples. He leaves his three right there and he goes a little ahead. But the weight, the burden is so heavy on him. The text says he fell to the ground. He couldn't make it any further. And there he finds himself praying out of a place of desperation. And I love how the Message translates his prayer. It is so accurate. Notice what it says. Jesus says, Papa, Father, you can't you? Get me out of this. Take the cup away from me, meaning the cup of suffering away from me. He's praying for a miracle. He's praying for a miraculous deliverance from that which awaits him. But then he puts it in a parenthesis. But please, I know I'm praying for this out of the midst of my suffering and my agony. But at the end of the day, I'm going to trust you and your character. So not what I want. What do you want, Father? What do you want? Let's pause a moment here and just talk about three different reasons why God may say no to us, even as he said no to his son. First reason can be sometimes what we're asking for is not good for us. We think it's good for us, that particular relationship, or maybe that particular job, but it's not what we think it is. My mother-in-law tells the story many, many years ago when she was raising, she had six foster kids plus her own two kids, one of them being my wife, who was her little daughter at the time. And they had to move out of the place where they were in because the owner of the place didn't want to fix up the place to meet city code, which was required to have foster kids there. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and they finally found a place across the community in what she thought was a perfect house. She prayed and prayed and prayed, and the landlord ultimately said, "You can have it." She put down a deposit. She was so excited. A few days before she got ready to move in, she got a phone call that said the landlord had changed his mind. He was going to give her back her deposit. There was too many of them to move in. No deal. Tore up the contract. She said she was so angry with God. Well, within a few days, God opened up an opportunity literally right across the church from where they worshiped. But the house was ransacked. And she and her entire family and friends had to work 14 hours a day, several days to get the place ready so that it would pass code. And she was so angry with God, she was shaking her fist at God. How dare you? But after it got settled in the place, a friend of hers said, have you stopped by the place that you were praying for a number of weeks ago and see what happened to it? She says, no. So she went by. The place had burned down. Turned out there was an electrical problem in the system of that house. And had they moved in, they would have been homeless. Perhaps even worse, maybe someone would have lost their life. What she was begging God for was exactly what she did not need. That could be us on occasion. Secondly, sometimes what is a perceived no is really a yes in disguise. Or I like to say an unfolding yes over time. Sometimes it takes time for the miracle to materialize. Many years ago, I was the pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church, and in my fourth year, I came out to California. Roxbury Presbyterian in Boston. I flew out to Menlo Presbyterian Church here in the West Coast, had a relationship with them. They had a reputation for investing in small churches that had a tremendous growth trajectory. When I got to them and put the proposal before them, they said, I'm so sorry, we've just decided to invest in a local church here in East Palo Alto, and we're pulling back from so much investment across the country. And so I went feeling that that was a no. 14 years later, I ended up at a church called Abundant Life Christian Fellowship in Mountain View. That happened to have been the church 14 years earlier that Menlo Prez was investing in. God's no 14 years then ultimately was to facilitate a yes 14 years later. A miracle in the making. Can you believe that? And New Beginnings was born out of Abundant Life. Sometimes the miracle starts today, this moment. It's your immediate moment, but it doesn't materialize for months, maybe even years later. So sometimes we just have to give the miracle time. But finally, sometimes the answer is just not clear. It's a mystery. I remember me and my wife, our firstborn child, a healthy pregnancy till the ninth month, just before she got ready to deliver, we lost a child. I was devastated. Even as I tell the story now, and I've told it multiple times, I still feel the pain. I was so angry with God for a year. I was angry. And I said to God on occasion, I just don't trust you anymore. I was preaching and pastoring at the time. And God whispered to me, what do you mean you don't trust me? Look at all of the prayers that I answered with a yes. And he began to walk through my life. When I almost died at 6 months old on the emergency room table at San Francisco General, he heard the prayers. He answered yes. When I was about to be put in a foster care system and lost in the foster care system, my grand aunt and uncle in Louisiana heard about it, and God answered the prayer. They opened their house. A yes took me to Louisiana. I was in special education, special needs kids, and prayers were sent up, and God's provided a yes, and I went from special education to higher education, Grambling State University, teaching ultimately at Harvard Divinity School. When I thought nobody on the planet would ever love me, all those prayers went up, and at the right time, God said yes, and Rhonda came from San Francisco to Louisiana, and 37 years later, we have the best marriage I could ever imagine. And God said, look at all those yeses, son. You're going to let one know? Erase all of the yeses. It was in that moment I was convicted, and even though I didn't understand why he said no to my son, I concluded that one must never allow what we do not understand about God to cause us to doubt what we know about God. He has the final word. And with God, death is not a period. It's a comma. It's a transition. I expect to see my son again. But now I trust him. And when God says no, at the end of the day, we have to do what Jesus did. He says, look, not what I want, but what do you want, Father? I trust your character. God is always good. No matter how bad the times are or how evil the world is, God is always good. And his yeses and his noes are always consistent with his character. We have to trust him until the larger plan is materialized. Tell somebody, trust him. Trust him. Now, here comes the special point of the message as I conclude today. And we get ready for prayer. God, the Father, said no to Jesus. You can't have your miracle. But he gave Jesus a blessing. Last week I told you that when you come today, when you put your prayer before the Father, there is a possibility he will say no to the miracle you're asking for. But even when he says no to the miracle that you're seeking for, he always provides a blessing that you need. Notice the text. It says that the disciples went with Jesus. And it was in that moment he sank into a pit of suffocating darkness. And he told him, look, I feel so bad, almost to the point of death. I feel like I'm going to die right now. And then the next verse says that he walked a little further and the weight was so heavy on him, he couldn't walk. He fell to the ground. Now compare that to what happens when the night is over after he finished praying. And look what he says to his disciples. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. There's no sign of weakness. There's no sign of despair. There's no sign of distress. There's no sign of struggle. It's almost as though Jesus is a different person. What happened in the in-between time? He didn't get the miracle. What did he get? Strength. That's what he got. Strength. And we get the, Luke gives, fills in the picture. Luke says, right there when Jesus is praying and saying, not my will, but your will be done, Luke adds another insight that helps us. Here's what he says. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. That's it, my friends. That even if you come today and if the miracle is not granted, the blessing is still yours. God will give you the strength to face whatever it is that is in front of you. That's how he does. He gives us the strength to face whatever it is that is in front of us. You never walk away from a moment of trusting God empty-handed. Well, we come to the end of this time together. And first of all, if you're in San Jose, Pastor Tilden and the wonderful team that we have prepared, they're going to take over now. And they're going to prepare to anoint you with oil and pray for you. If you're watching only the message on YouTube, in just a few moments, I'm going to give you some instructions. For those of you who are watching online and via YouTube, live, etc., you just hold your place. We're going to do something very special with you in just a few seconds. But for those of you who are simply watching the message, and it may be days after I've preached it, as this message gets ready to come to an end, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want you to get ready as it stops. I want you to put your hand out. You don't have to pray a long prayer. It can be very short. But I want you to articulate, what is that improbability? What is that impossibility that you need Jesus to release healing into as it relates to your life? And as this finishes, you offer that to the Lord. And I pray that the miracle at least begins today. And in the meantime, that he will give you the strength to face whatever it is that is in front of you. Oh, let us believe God. Let us reach and trust. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down.
Those of you who are watching us live right now, you may be watching on the website, you may be watching on YouTube. I'm going to invite you right now to go ahead and type your prayers real time into the chat. We have a chat team that is waiting to receive your prayers and engage with you around your prayers. So if you're watching real time, go ahead and do that right now. Type into the chat. If, in fact, you would like for your prayers to be private and you're watching on our website, you can simply click the request for prayer button. Fill out the information with your prayer request. That's going to go to our online team, and they're going to pray for every single prayer request that they get. So you can go ahead and prepare to do that as well. Or you can scan the QR code on the screen and access our connection card. You can fill out our connection card. And again, our prayer team will pray for those prayer requests as they come in. Also, on the connection card, you have the opportunity to indicate if you'd like for us to give you a call and pray with you by phone. We'd be happy to do that. Now, I'm about to pray for a list of requests that we've received. Now, let me just say, I'm taking a sample of the requests that we received, but all of the requests that came in from last Sunday all the way through the week that was mailed to me, they're all going before our prayer team. Every single request will be prayed for. I promise you, every single request will be prayed for. But let's focus our attention on these. The first category that we want to lift up before the Lord are those who are requesting prayer for healing, physical healing, and healing in their mental health. Listen, Cynthia, she's praying for healing. She's experiencing chest pains that doctors can't resolve, an unusual heart palpitation pattern that she has dealt with for years. We're going to believe God to give her a breakthrough. Sonia is praying for healing, a breakthrough from depression and anxiety that has plagued her most of her life, and most recently, insomnia. Dave is praying for healing for his wife. 30 years, she has struggled with a disease called complex regional pain syndrome, and recently, she suffered a significant injury that he's asking for miraculous intervention for. She really wants to go to a wedding this weekend. We're going to pray that God will supernaturally make that happen. Eunice is praying for healing for her leg and her foot. She desires to walk again without a walker or cane. Julie has asked for prayer for her clinical team in San Diego and for safety where she lives. Michelle has asked that we pray for her mental health. She writes this, "I'm filled with regret and disappointment about how my life played out. Feelings consume me and prohibits me from moving forward." We're going to ask that God breaks that spirit of guilt and shame, and that God gives you a release and a deliverance. Shane is asking for healing for his back injury at work and provisions for his family while he's out of work. And another person is asking for healing for Noreen, who was rushed to O'Connor's hospital and is now in emergency. Now, if you have a healing request, in addition to what you may have typed, we just ask you to stretch your hands out. If your request is in physical healing, mental health healing, join me in this season, this moment of prayer. God, I'm so grateful that you're not just here where I am, but everyone watching me all over the country and beyond, your spirit is in their space. So I ask that you would move upon their lives right now. God, you healed the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. You healed the man at the pool who had been there for 30 plus years. We know that you're able to do the supernatural, the improbable and the impossible. So we ask, oh God, that you would move mightily by your spirit. Let the power, your power, fall upon people all over this place. Whoever's listening at me and watching me, wherever they live, we pray that you release supernatural miracles in their lives. That you will use doctors and therapists and medicine, but even beyond that, the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Not a second of another minute, not an hour of another day. As I sit here with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before, Lord. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now.
Praise God. Praise God. Now we want to focus our attention on healing for relationships, grieving, people who are grieving, those who would like the grace of Jesus Christ to overtake their loved ones, that they would know him personally as Lord and Savior. Listen to some of these requests. Luke is asking for healing for a friend battling through a terrible divorce, working through the divorce proceedings, praying for peace and comfort for her. Jennifer is asking for healing for a friend going through a difficult divorce also. The prayer is that God will help her and others going through divorce in this season to release the bitterness and experience God's healing love. Rosanna is asking for healing for her relationship with her mom and unity in their home. She's specifically asking for an outbreak of love and respect to happen in their family. Anna is praying for her two adult daughters who have turned their backs on God. May God do a mighty work in their lives and in the life of their families. Another person is asking that a closer relationship with God would occur for them and their daughter and their daughter's husband, and that their grandchildren will learn about Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. Ruth, she's praying for friends and families who do not know Jesus. Lydia is asking for strength and comfort for her father who's in hospice care. And Michelle is asking for strength and comfort as she grieves the loss of an aunt and also the loss of a very good friend, both in the last couple of weeks. Let us pray. God, when we think about broken relationships, oh, how we need you now. We're reminded that when Paul and Barnabas' relationship was shattered, that you were miraculous, supernaturally able over time to bring healing and reconciliation to them. We're reminded, oh God, that Peter betrayed you and the other disciples, they abandoned you. And yet through your grace and forgiveness, you brought reconciliation, brought them back into the fold. I pray for the spirit of reconciliation to happen among the individuals who are listening to me now, even as they lift their hands up, opening up their hearts and saying, oh God, begin with me. Bring grace and forgiveness into me that I might share it with others. We pray for those who are grieving loss. May they know your comfort. May they know your strength in this time, in this season. We're praying for those, God, who desperately need to know you as a friend, as a redeemer, as Lord, as Savior, that your grace would overtake their lives, and that you would make all the difference, that they would know you in the fullness of your love, trust you for who you are. Oh God, move supernaturally today. Let the miracle begin now, in Jesus' name.
Agony of being alone, the fear of doing things on my own, the tests and trials in your life, God says, will make you strong. Oh, the feeling of hurt, guilt, shame, and defeat, the waves, the trials that beat upon me, but to know, Lord, that in you I've got victory. I need you now. I need you now. I need you.
Final category today, finances and education. If you fit either of those, you can simply open your hands as we prepare to pray in just a moment. But first, listen to these requests that have come in. Patricia, she's praying for a neighbor's 44-year-old son who's about to lose his home. He was injured on a job, and the compensation that he's currently receiving does not cover his mortgage. And he also has lung cancer and brain tumor. We're praying for healing and strength for this, our brother. Anya is praying for Caleb's upcoming job interview and that he would be accepted into a 5-year construction apprenticeship program. Samitel is praying for help to trust God with their future as a college student. Lauren is praying for a colleague at work who recently quit his job due to being overwhelmed. She asked that prayers would go up, that God would provide for this person's baby and wife during this time of unemployment and lead the husband to a job that is better suited for him in this season. And Rosalinda asked that we pray for healing for her financial well-being. And Grace asked that we pray she gets a job soon. Lift your hands. Finance, our education pursuit is your challenge today. Lord, we need you now. You said that you would provide for our needs according to your riches in glory. You told us to ask, and the answer would come, seek, and we shall find, knock, and the door would be open. Lord, there are all kinds of challenges that's in this category, every name that I have prayed for in this category and every name I've called out tonight. Move mightily by your Spirit. God, we ask that you would give and create and facilitate provisions to flow into the lives of people. Bring forth jobs. Bring forth promotions. Give revelation on how to reorganize their finances. Lord, create a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Those who are struggling in school, we pray that you would give them discipline, but you would also give them a sense of peace, that you are with them and ahead of them, and that they are able to do all things through you who strengthens them. In the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we just lift all these prayers. The hearts are open all over the place, watching me today. Have your way. Move and touch. Let the miracle come. Let the miracle begin now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh.
Special time we've had here today. Oh my goodness. For some of you, the miracle has already come. Next 24 to 36 hours, you're going to have a grand and great testimony. Praise report, as we say in the church, a shouting moment. For others who are watching me right now, the miracle has only begun. We'll take some time to manifest over the weeks and months to come. It may come through a surprise doctor's report or through a reconciliation that you couldn't have even imagined, or through a job that comes from the place that you least expected. For others among us, if not all, oh my goodness, the blessing that we receive tonight or today, whenever you're watching this, is strength. Strength to face whatever is in front of you, knowing that Jesus is with you and ahead of you. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. For somebody, this is the moment for you to say yes to Jesus and say, I want to turn my future, my destiny over. And all you need to do is just simply repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, I trust you. I want to make you Lord. In other words, large and in charge of my life and my future from now into forever. In your name we pray. Amen. Go trusting. Go expecting. Go in the strength that God has for you. And whatever you do, get back here next weekend. We're going to celebrate Mother's Day together. Oh, one more thing. As God has begun to answer these prayers, my email address is right here on the screen. I would love it if you would send me some emails that shares some of the good news that will begin to unfold in the days and weeks to come. Let me know how God moved in your life. God bless you. See you next weekend.